for the beautiful sun that illuminates, that warms our worship space this morning. But most importantly, dear God, we thank you for the Son of God, who truly is our Savior, the Advent who is to come. And now may the words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you. For you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. Now these words, the two words from the Gospel of Mark, really stands out, especially in this season of Advent. Keep watch. Another way of saying is stand guard. Another way of saying is keep awake. That was the message of Jesus as recorded by Mark. But the conversation, obviously, is about a man going on a journey. And according to the story, the man or the owner of the house decided to put someone in charge of the household. We know that the coming of God has no fixed or definite time, and neither the angels nor the Son, but only God the Father knows a particular time frame. And so it is for all of us in Advent, a season of waiting, but this season of waiting is a waiting with much expectation. All of a sudden, the sacred and the secular, just like that vine, just kind of comes down. I hope it doesn't come down to you. The sacred and the secular competing for the same attention on the same stage. It is a busy time. So I don't know about you, whether you are busy during this season. Yesterday I was in 3 events, all in one, in a span of 6 hours or 7 hours. So it's really a busy time, but it is also a very hopeful time in our world today. So if we live in the first century, this call to keep watch was not really a big deal. So when you say, hey, you need to keep watch, it's not a really big deal. Because during the time of Christ, and even before the time of Christ, there were watchtowers. It's in many different places. There were sentries posted, because that's the way it is. You got to find out who's coming in. And if it's a friend, well, you announce that a friend is coming to the city. If it is a foe, of course, you alert the people because you want to protect the people and keep them safe. In other cultures, even today, it is common to have someone always around to answer the door and keep the place secure. When I was growing up, we never carried keys because you knock on the door, someone is always there to open the door for us. So it's rather unusual, at least when I was growing up, to carry keys, because someone is always going there. If we were to leave even for a couple of hours, someone is always going there to keep watch for the property, or sometimes the neighbors will keep watch on your house. Well, today we don't do that. We have an app. Don't you have an app? You know, so if someone rings the bell, you have an app, and wherever you may be, you can see who the person is through the peephole, and you can actually respond to this individual and leave message. So we've got an app, you know. Property owner can respond directly away from home. But people have been waiting for the Messiah to come, and we know the Messiah means God's anointed. And so there was a long history of anointing. And usually when we say anointing, it refers to the kings and priests, you know, kings who rule the kingdom and priests who rules the sacred in Jerusalem. Unfortunately, through the years, this sacred trust have been contaminated and corrupted by power. And those charged, according to the scriptures, have turned away from God. And when people turned away from God, they turned to the sacred texts. And of course, the sacred text during that time was not the Bible that we have, because the Bible that we have was compiled, especially the New Testament, 30 years after the death of Christ. So the Bible that they had was the Hebrew Bible. That was the sacred text. And the Psalm was the prayer book. And so who were keeping watch? According to the scripture, the angels were keeping watch and really awaiting orders from above. One group believed that the angels were apocalyptic. You know, when we hear the word apocalyptic, it sounds like doom and destruction. But in the Bible, when we say apocalyptic, it means it is going to challenge all the temporal powers present during that time. We never imagine angels in that way, because most of the images that we have are angels that can cause no harm. So sometimes it's funny when you say, you're an angel. You are an angel sent to me. I say it is funny because I know it is a term of endearment, because we want to appreciate the good things that people has done. But in the Bible, people don't say you're an angel, because when you say you're an angel, that means something is about to happen to you. Your life will be disrupted. Things are not going to be the same anymore. So angels are not meant to charm in the Bible. Angels are meant to keep watch and waiting for orders from above. That's what the scripture says all the time. So there were two groups, and briefly, the two groups are, the first group is the Essenes. Now, the Essenes are like the monastic community. So they withdrew from the city life. They withdrew from the life in Jerusalem, because they believed that the priests were not doing the right thing. And so they withdrew into this community, and they immersed themselves in prayer, in deep prayer, and they started to write again sacred words from God. And not too long ago, they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls. I think some of you have heard about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, they discovered that the writings from that community was older by 1,000 years from the original manuscript that they had. And so the Essenes were thinking of changing the temporal powers by prayer and appealing to the angels, apocalyptic angels. And they believe that is the way to experience and to usher the coming of our God. Well, there's a second group. The second group is perhaps more familiar to us, because Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus Christ. The second group was called the Zealot, Iscariot. I think that's the way it is pronounced in Latin. They have daggers. They have tools. You know, what they want to do is to occupy and force change by the power through force. And they believe that the Messiah will come as king and establish his reign on earth. And so they have this competing worldview from the first century. Is it going to be peace, or is it going to be the sword? But Advent season offers a different path. I was directed to Psalm 110 when I was preparing for this Advent season. And I like the book of Psalms, and in particular Psalm 110, because it was about the Messiah coming to overcome the world. But what struck me most was the reference to verse 3. Here is what it says. From the womb of the morning, like dew, your youth will come to you. And so the Bible talks about the dew of Hermon falling down on Mount Zion. Now, you have to remember that geographically, it is not possible. You know, because Mount Hermon was on the north and Mount Zion was in the south. So there is no way, when you think about it geographically, that it will happen. But we know also what the Bible says, nothing is impossible with God. How can it be, you know, the dew will come and fall to the city of Zion? You know, I don't know about you, but when I walk in the grass with the morning dew, well, it's inconvenient, isn't it? Your shoes get wet. You know, if you're going to get your newspaper, your shoes is going to get wet. You know, by the time you get back inside. But for the people of Israel, the morning dew was a blessing. Their sandals got wet, but it's all right because it is a sign of blessing. And so when Christians talk about the book of Psalms, they say it is indeed a reflection of the announcement that through the womb of this woman, Mary, the morning dew, God is going to come. There's a translation that reads, "Thou art my son, born like dew before the day star rises." And in Ephesians it says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings from Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, from the womb of the world." Well, we are not the zealots, isn't it? Whose agenda was to seize control and offer a radical way of being by destroying things, by wreaking havoc in our world today. We're not the zealots. We are not the Essenes. We are not the monastic group who withdrew from all cares of the world and waited for some apocalyptic end with scenario of fiery and angry angels. What are we in this season of Advent? What can we offer to make a difference in our world today? Well, we are still watching. We are keeping awake. The Gospel of Mark says to keep awake because no one knows the time frame of God's coming. But if we dial it back at the beginning of the text, it says that in those days, the suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Then they will see the Son of God coming in clouds with great power and with great glory. And they will send his angels from the four winds. So all of these angelic beings coming from the four winds, from the ends of the earth and also from the ends of heaven. So when I read that, I said, whoa, wait a minute. What is going on? This is God bringing his heavenly forces to come to bear to our world, not to harm, but rather to bless. So I think there is a rich spiritual blessing that we can offer today during Advent. And when it is spiritual, it is also practical. And there are times we tend to confuse that spiritual has no bearing in terms of our daily living. But the scripture says when it is spiritual, it is also practical. As we move through each day of the season of Advent, consider where God has touched you in specific ways. Where has God touched you in particular? But this is the good news of our faith. When we keep watch, and God is always into details, the small gets magnified, the weak becomes strong, the poor becomes rich, those who are lost are suddenly found, and it is Christ's gift of salvation alone. And finally, I think we have to nudge each other, reminding us that in this Advent journey, we are not alone. We have to nudge each other. We went and see a movie last night. Brent said that I was falling asleep, which probably was true. But she kept on nudging me. And whenever she nudged me, I woke up from my slumber. I told her that I still got it. I still know what happened in the movie. But sometimes, really, we have to nudge each other, right?
to keep us awake. And I think it is a gift when we nudge each other, when we are reminded that when we nudge each other, we are embraced by God. And so when we are embraced by God, we are allowed to experience the beauty and the holiness of this season. And when we return home to God, and there are many people who are trying to find their way home to God, there is someone waiting, and it is announced in unique ways. God is faithful. And one author that I like is Marian Robinson, who wrote, "Let us wonder, because we will know that when we wander in different places, we are allowed to come home again." Thanks be to God. Amen. And we're